Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This is a message I often preach around the first of the year, but according to my records, I haven't done it for a couple of years. And I think I've always said that this is the most important message you'll ever hear. And it's really about if we heed what the Bible says here, it'll keep us right with the Lord. The title of the message is How to Stay Right with God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 says, My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. You know, you think about binding somebody. It's like, so you've captured a criminal and you handcuffed him. You've bound him so that he cannot get away from you. So this is the idea of binding ourselves to the truth and the mercy of God. So shalt thou find favor. And this was this is something, again, we do to ourselves. In doing so, we'll find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, sometimes we think that, if I do what God says, people aren't going to like me. That's not true. They may not agree with you. And there'll be some that will not like you because your life convicts them of their sin. But the vast majority of people will respect you. They will like you because if you're going to please God, you're going to be the kindest and the most sincere and loving person they know. You know, you've probably heard this phrase, they are true blue. In other words, they're sincere. What you say, they are real. That's the kind of people we ought to be. You know, and God-like. You know, there were people that hated Jesus. But the majority of people, Bible says the common people, they heard him gladly. Now, you're going to have some elite that aren't going to like you. You know, there's going to be some that just aren't going to. But for the most part, you're going to have good understanding in the sight of God and man. You're going to find favor. Anyway, you know, think about it. Joseph found favor where? Wherever he went. With just about everybody. Except for those who tried to do him evil. Potiphar's wife. Daniel, same thing. You know, there were men who tried to destroy Daniel. But he found favor with the vast majority of people. And not because he told them what they always wanted to know. You know, he was direct. You know, he told Belshazzar very clearly where he was ending up. But Belshazzar respected him for it. So anyway, trust in the Lord, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor thy Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So again, the title is How to Stay Right with God. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for your word. Thank you for how it challenges us and encourages us and instructs us in how we ought to conduct ourselves in this world, pleasing to you as a witness and testimony to the glory of God to a lost and dying world. So help us, Father, to understand these truths and these principles, put them into practice in our life, and just continue in them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a word picture that I want to draw your attention to in Ezekiel chapter 3. as we consider this subject today. Ezekiel 3, in verse 1, it says this, Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. And so here's a word picture that Ezekiel is told, and he's to eat the roll. Now, in other words, he's supposed to take it in. He's supposed to, you know, I don't think he's literally going to eat the roll. It's the scriptures. This is what it's referring to. But he is to make it part of him. You know, when you put something in your body, it has become, your body's going to digest it and make it part of you. And so we are to digest or take in the Word of God and so to eat the Word of God, so to speak, to fill our bowels, our seat of emotion, our seat of our feelings, the seat of our will, of our heart, to fill it with the Word of God. And he said it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. You know, the Word of God is like honey. It is sweet to the soul. And this book is different than any other book. It's an inspired book. It's an instructional book. And it is invaluable. It is invaluable. There's nothing like it. And so if we're going to stay right with God, we have to stay in the book. Notice verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Don't forget the law of God. We're to keep. He says, let thine heart. That's the idea of the bowels. Take it into your being. Keep it. That means to guard, protect it, preserve it in your life. Because there is great reward in that. You know, this is an inspired book. Again, it's different than any other. It is God's word. God's word breathed out, given to us. You know, 2 Peter 1:21 says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, this book is in a class by itself. You know, it's not only inspired, it is preserved. It is kept by God. Matthew 24:35 said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And so we need to take in and not forget about the Word of God. You know, it is more important than anything else that you put into your mind and in your heart. More important than any blog you're going to read, anything you're going to listen to, podcasts, all that. You know, there's lots of information, good information you can get in the world, but nothing compares to this. Nothing. You know, a lot of what podcasts and things in the world are given to us by unsaved people. Now, there's a lot of them claim to be Christian. But many of those are Catholics. And by Bible definition, they are not Christian. Though they may support some good causes. You know, I was telling my wife last night, Jim Harbaugh, Michigan head coach, you know, was at the march, the Right to Life march in D.C. And he even spoke at it. That's a good cause. But he's Catholic, you know. And I appreciate him doing that, but he, by Bible definition, is not a saved man. So I wouldn't go to him for counsel, you know, although that's a good cause and so on and so forth. And he may be a good person, but in God's sight, he's not a righteous man. He's unrighteous. You know, these are things we need to think about. And we think when we listen to a lot of these things in the world, again, a lot of these people are, Ben Shapiro is Jewish. A lot of them are Jews. Ben Shapiro has had the gospel given to him, but he's still a Jew. Says a lot of good things, and some things he says, I go, I wonder about it. But anyway, so this book is different. It's in a class by itself. It exceeds anything else, any other book or any other thing teaching we get in the world. It is good for doctrine, for reproof. You know, Timothy tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That is, fully grown or mature in his walk with the Lord, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And again, we have, the Bible is an all-inclusive book. It has everything in it that we need for life. The instructions we need for life are there. Like I said this morning, the solution to this problem in the Middle East is very simple. If you just go to the scriptures, yes, Abraham had other children than Isaac, but there was only one child that the land and the covenant God passed on to, and the land was passed on to, and that is Isaac. They could have all the other land around it and be content and happy and prosperous. Think about the land around Israel. Is it not all oil rich? I mean, they're some of the most prosperous people in the world. And yet they want Israel. Isn't that kind of funny? Strange to me? It seems strange to me? Not really, because I know who's behind all this. Who is the father of lies, the murderer. So you know, the Bible, you know, it has the solutions to all the problems we see in the world. It is good for doctrine. It teaches us what is right. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 33, verse 4 says, the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Psalm 119, verse 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So the word of God teaches us what is right. It is, you might say, the operational manual for all of life. You know, I bought a Bobcat, and with that, I got a manual. It's a 3-ring binder notebook. It's about this thick. It tells you, I think, most everything you need to know, and some of the things I'll never try because it's beyond my pay grade, you know, but it's the operational manual for that machine, and this is the operational manual for all of life. If we need to know what is right, we can go to the Word of God and see what God says about it. You know, the world has a lot of ideas of what is okay. It's okay to live together now because it's accepted in our society. Not according to the scriptures, it's not. God still calls it adultery or fornication. It is good for reproof. It also tells us what is not right. What is not right? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You know, if we want to clean up our life, we can go to the word of God and see what we need to change. It's like a mirror to us. You know, James tells us that whosoever looketh in the law of God, look, it's like looking into a mirror. And if you look in the mirror and go your way, you know, you forget what manner of man you are, it's not profitable. So it's like a mirror. It gives reproof. It is good for correction, how to get things right. You know, the Bible doesn't just tell you what's wrong with you or what's wrong in your life. There's always a way to make it right. Always. There's no such a thing as a sin that God can't forgive. The only sin that is unforgiven is the rejection of believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the only, I believe that's what's the unpardonable sin. God can't pardon somebody who will not believe in Jesus as the Lord and Savior. But, you know, in fact, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, and there's a list of sins here. Some of what was considered in the Bible was some of the most worst sins, if you want to call it that, known to man. And yet, these are things that can be forgiven or can find forgiveness for. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I've heard some people say, some preachers say, that, you know, sodomites can't get saved. Well, that contradicts the scriptures, I'm sorry. Because it, when it says effeminate, it has the idea of soft, and I think that's, you know, men that want to be woman-like. And then it says, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. It has to do with sodomy. And, you know, you can even go to transgenderism there. You're abusing your own body when you take these hormone blockers and have these surgeries. You know, young women have had their breasts cut off and all these that's abusing yourself. By the way, there's also abusing of self that goes on with idol worship. The worship of Baal, what they do? They cut themselves with knives. The blood gushed out, the Bible says. There is baby sacrifice involved in idol worship. Basically, I believe that abortion is an idol worship thing. Women have made themselves idols, and they're not, you know, they feel like they don't have to be responsible for their actions, and it's a selfish thing to abort a child that they're expecting. But anyway, you know, these are some of the what we would consider the worst sins of mankind. He said, and of course, there's thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. He says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So this if this is your lifestyle. You know, you're living in an unrighteousness, yes, there is, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So he says, such were some of you, but now you're washed, now you're justified, now you're declared righteous by God because they repented of these sins. So the Bible not only tells us what's wrong, it tells us how we can make it right. How we can be reconciled to a holy and righteous God, no matter what sin we have been guilty of. You know, self-righteousness can be the worst of sins. It was self-righteousness that had our Lord crucified. And so it tells us how to make things right. It is an instructional book. Verse 2 says, length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. It gives us instruction. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, you know, again, the Bible is meant to be studied, not just read through. It's meant to be compare Scripture with Scripture. You know, it gives us, it is studied to be confident. You know, we can be confident in the Word of God. It can give us confidence in life. In Psalm 19, verse 8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Proverbs 14, verse 26 says this, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. But the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. You know, when you study the Word of God, and you come to a right conclusion in the Word of God, and you've obeyed the Word of God, it gives you confidence. I remember the first person I endeavored to witness to, Henry Metz, his neighbor. And Henry was a man that spoke his mind. But anyway, I was very nervous, and I stuttered and stammered, and I read from Romans 3 that, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I explained a little bit that we're all sinners by nature and by choice and so on and so forth. And he got a little upset. And he said that, you know, I've been a Christian all my life. And he used a few choice words too. He got a little upset. His wife, on the other hand, received it. And I believe actually that she was a saved woman. But he got a little upset. And, you know, that was a little unnerving to me at first. But when I left there, I had a peace and an assurance that I had done what was right. It wasn't that I did anything wrong. It was that he rejected the truth. I had confidence and assurance because I knew what the Word of God said concerning the subject. And so I had confidence. You know, when we study the Word of God, we can have confidence in it. God gives us confidence when we obey His Word, and it will help us to stand in the face of opposition. It gives us confidence. Proverbs 18, verse 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." You know, it's a place of security and strength and power. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. So when you receive the Word of God into your heart and you're obeying it, it gives you security, like you're living in a strong tower. And you're not afraid of the enemy. You're not afraid of him. The Word of God instructs us and commends us. Again, study to show thyself approved. The idea of being commended by God. Again, when you study the Word of God and come to right conclusions by the Spirit of God as you're reading and studying, God gives you, commends you, or bears witness to your spirit that you are walking in the truth. You're walking in the truth. James 1, verse 25. I think I made reference to this passage a little bit ago, but verse 25 says this. James 1, verse 25. says this. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. So, you're looking into the Word of God and you're continuing in it. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the blessing again comes from God. We are commended, if you will, by God. So it commends us. It encourages us. Of course, it corrects us. Verse 3 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart." You know, to rightly apply the Word of God to our lives, and so that we can walk in the truth. The entrance of thy word giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, you may be a simpleton. You may not be a wise person in this world, but yet you can have the light of life through the Word of God. You know, we need to accept the Word of God as it is. As it is. And not try and change it to suit ourselves or to twist it to serve our purposes, but just to accept it as it is. So it is a inspired book. It's an invaluable book. Again, verse 2 says, length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That is the words of God. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now, how can the Word of God do all these things? You know, they say that one of the number one causes of bad health is what? What is it? Stress. Why do people have stress? Why do we have stress? When is it you're stressed? When you're walking with the Lord? When you're trusting in God? Or is it not when you're leaning on your own understanding? Can you imagine not knowing the Lord? And looking at everything that's going on in this world? You know, the Bible says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. I would think, from my perspective, from what I know in the Scriptures and what I know is going on in the world, if I was an unsaved person, I'd be very stressed, very worried. Because this is a precursor. What's going on in the Middle East could blow up into what's described in Zechariah chapters 12 through 14 and Revelations chapters 6 through 19. That's tribulational. That means we could be nearing the Lord's return. And that means in the next 7 years, if but just what I know from the Bible. Okay, let's say the Lord, the rapture takes place and we're taken out. What the world is left behind. There's going to be, during this time, the Bible says there's going to be 2/3 of the world destroyed. And just from a worldly perspective, you have this war in the Middle East, which involves Yemen, basically all the Arab nations. Maybe some of them aren't saying that they're really supporting this war against Israel, but you know, if you really dig deeply, I think you're going to find that almost all the Arab nations want rid of Israel. You got China involved, more than we think. By the way, I believe that China has unleashed biological warfare on the world called COVID. I don't think that's an accident. I think it's real biological chemical warfare. There's strange health problems people have today. And, you know, they've admitted now this where it came from after the fact. You have Ukraine and Russia. That's a powder keg. All that war is doing is making the elites of the world rich. Just my opinion. I have pretty good reasons to believe that. You know, every time there seems to be an appearance of this war may be being over, it seems like there's talk of Ukraine becoming a part of NATO. You notice every once in a while that comes up? Do you know why we have this war? Do you know why Russia went into Ukraine? Because they threatened to make Ukraine part of NATO. And Putin said, if you never do that, I'm taking Ukraine. We wouldn't allow that to happen in Mexico. It's called the Monroe Doctrine. We wouldn't let an enemy into Mexico. We wouldn't sit by and just watch the communists take over Mexico. That would be a threat on our border. And we would be at war. But we think that Russia shouldn't invade Ukraine if we threaten to make it part of NATO. By the way, the NATO treaty is worthless. But they keep using it because they want this war to continue because they're making millions of dollars. The elites of the world. It's just my opinion. I think I have good reason to believe that. After all, Ukraine is never going to defeat Russia. I don't care what the news is telling you. But again, I'd be stressed, beyond stress, I would think. However, the Bible says God's going to send them strong delusion. That they'll believe a lie. But what I'm saying here is that the Bible says, it shall be hell to thy navel, the word of God. See, knowing the word of God, I'm not really all that concerned about the war in the Middle East. Now, I am. Yeah, I am concerned about it. But I'm not concerned about my future in relation to that. Because I know this, that before all the armies of the world gather against Israel, my Lord's coming for me. I know that. The rapture of the saints will precede that time. You know, that's the time when 2/3 of Israel is going to perish. 1/3 of the world, the green trees are going to be burned up and all that stuff. It's going to be catastrophic things happen in this world. But see, I know all that, but I know when. In relationship to me going to be with the Lord. I know that I'm going to be with the Lord before all that stuff happens. So even so, there's a war going on over there. I know that before all the nations gather against Israel, I'm not going to be here. Now, you can call that an escape, you know, just escaping reality or whatever you want to call it. But no, the reality is the Lord promised he's coming for us before all that stuff happens. And so, I'm not stressed about it. I'm not stressed about it. You see, the Lord promised to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It doesn't say it's always going to be easy. But we are to rest and trust in the Lord and not be stressed and worried about what's going on in the world to the point that it overcomes us. You know, we should have concern for people and their souls and their need and their eternal destiny. We should have concern for that. But we should not be overly concerned with what the Lord is allowing to go on in our world. So, it is health. It's an invaluable book. You know, it is the Word of God is a book that can change us from the inside out. In Psalm 19 and verse 7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That word convert means to turn around, to change direction, change destination. It's converting the soul. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, so we are changed from the inside out. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Gives us the idea of the change of a butterfly when it says, 1 Corinthians 3. I don't think that's the right. Where am I? I think it's 2 Corinthians 3. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, so here's that open face looking into a glass, like looking into a mirror, you know, with an open mind, an open heart, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of our Lord. So as we look into the Word of God, it's like look ourselves looking into a mirror. And, you know, when you look into the mirror after you get out of bed in the morning, you know, you decide, oh, I better get a comb. I need to brush my teeth. I need to wash my face. And your ladies are probably saying, I need to put some makeup on. And, you know, you want to change your appearance because it doesn't look pleasing to you. And so as we look into the Word of God, what it is it's like our spiritual mirror. And when we say, oh, I don't look pleasing to the Lord, so I want to change this and I want to change that. It changes us. It changes us from the inside out. The inside out. Just, you know, a picture of that was when Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up on the mountain and he was transfigured. In other words, he was changed before them. And that's a picture. It's kind of, you know, the word is metamorphosis there, like the changing of caterpillar into a butterfly. So it changes us. It changes us from sinners to saints. From living like sinners to living like saints. It gives us power over sin. No longer have sin has dominion. It cheers us. It, you know, Psalm 19:8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoice in the heart. It brings joy to our hearts. Somebody says the sure sign of spiritual activity or walking with the Lord is the praising the Lord. If you lost your cheer, you may be out of the word. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. You know, Jeremiah had these experiences and he get discouraged. And Jeremiah 15, verse 16, again it says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You know, think about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet he's called, referred to. That's what Lamentations means, weeping. And, you know, preaching to a people that would not hear. It had to have been so discouraging. Nobody listened to him. In fact, come chapter 20, and he said, I quit. I'm going to quit. All my family's against me, I'm just going to quit. But his word, he said, was in my heart as a burning fire. I was weary with forbearing. I could not keep it in. And I could not stay. I cannot not do this. It brings rejoicing to my heart. Rejoicing. It challenges us to a clean and pure living. Verses 9 and 10 of Proverbs 3 says this, honor thy Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. To do what is right and pleasing in the Lord's sight, it convicts us. Verse 11, my son, despise not the chastened Lord, nor that be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a son, a father in whom he delighteth. And so these are the things that the Word of God does for us. And I see I'm not going to get finished, so I think I'm going to stop here. But, you know, this book is so different than any other book in the world. You know, Hebrews 4:12 said, it's a sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow. So he's talking about the most intricate part, the most secret parts of your life, the Word of God will penetrate and bring about change. From your innermost being, because there's nothing hid from him, from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Nothing hid. You know, he that created the eye, shall he not see? He that created the ear, shall he not hear? And so this is the Word of God. This is what the Word of God can do for us. And so it's vitally important that we stay in the book. the book. That's what I think that's what Bible means, the book. It's the book. You know, some people say, well, he's the man. Yeah, well, this is the book. This is the book. We need to stay in it. You know, we live in an age of busyness. I'm not making light of that. We're busy people. We got a lot of things that distract us. But we also live in an age where we have access like we never had to ways that we can listen to the Word of God. All you got to do is pull out your phone. Yep. People are on their phones all the time. You know, I have this love-hate relationship with my phone. Sometimes I think, I'm just going to get rid of this thing. But the reality is I love it too much to get rid of it. It just disturbs me at times. You know. But, you know, you can pull up on that phone and have it read to you the scriptures. That can be very helpful. So we need to stay in the book so that we can stay right with God. It'll be health to our navel, marrow to our bones. Life-giving substance. It is a living book. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the time of your word this afternoon. Thank you for the challenge, encouragement we received from your word. And I pray that you'd help us as your people, your Lighthouse Baptist Church, to pattern our lives after the word of the living God, that it may be well with us. We'll find good understanding in the sight of God and man. And so help us, we pray. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Again, thank you for the blessings of the day. And go forth rejoicing and confident, walking in thy truth. We pray in Jesus' name.